So on this auspicious day, we're going to say a few words about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We could go on all day speaking about him, but in the interest of time, even though there is no breakfast, we're going to try to keep it a little short. I will say a few words in preliminary, then we will read excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave, in which he mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then we will cover one of his songs. He wrote lots and lots of songs. We'll just try to cover one song as a meditation for the day. So, unfortunately, the screen is behind you. You could follow along on the screen, those of you who can see it. First, we'll offer our respects to Bhaktivinoda Thakur by repeating his pranam mantras again. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namane Gora Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa. So in 1969, Srila Prabhupada, in the course of giving a lecture on Gopurnima, he mentioned some details about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we'll just read that here. You can follow along. It was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to spread the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya in the Western countries. So with this in view of publishing the book Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts, he sent copies to various universities' libraries. And one of the copies was found in the McGill University in Montreal by one of Prabhupada's disciples. I forget which one. Anybody remember who it was? Anyway, one of his disciples found it there. After 72 years, this book was found in the library by one of our students, and he brought it to me. From a materialistic point of view, I was born in a different family, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur belonged to a different family. And my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, happened to be the fifth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I've seen most places that it said that he had 10 children, but I've seen at least one place where it said 11. Anyway, so we'll go by 10. So he was the fifth of 10. Although at home, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was actually the spiritual master of my spiritual master, still he recommended Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he was a young man, about 18 years old, that you go to Gorakishore Das Babaji and become initiated by him. By the way, if those windows upstairs are not open, can you please open them so we get some airflow? And you can open the door also a little wider here, get some airflow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate, and my Guru Maharaj belonged to a very respectable family, so he narrated the story before us. When he was recommended to be initiated by Gorakishore Babaji Maharaj, this Gorakishore Babaji Maharaj used to respect Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his guide. Therefore, we take it that in our disciplic succession that Bhaktivinoda Thakur guided Gorakishore Babaji Maharaj. And Gorakishore Das Babaji Maharaj initiated my spiritual master. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is accepted as the spiritual master of the spiritual master of my spiritual master. He is in the fourth generation, grand man, spiritual master. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, which Bhaktivinoda desired in 1896, and somewhere or other, coincidentally, I do not know what was his desire, I was also born in that year. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually appeared in 1938, and he left this world in 1914. So that was, what, 76 years old? So we see the Vaishnavas, they vary. Prabhupada left at 82. His spiritual master left, I think, at 64. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left at 48. because they have a mission, and when the mission is done, they leave. They don't come here to stay for a long time and just hang out. And by Krishna's desire, I came to the disciplic succession, to Saraswati Thakur. And he asked me to go to the Western countries and preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The spiritual line of understanding is different from the materialistic point of view. The idea is that I was born in a different family and Guru Maharaj was born in a different family. Prabhupada stresses this because in India, They have this family guru business where one family becomes the guru of another family and it goes on for generations. So Prabhupada was stressing that this is not the case in Vaishnavism. Just because we were born in separate families doesn't mean that we can't be guru. So even though he wasn't in the same line materially wise as Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, still he became guru in the Vaishnava line. Bhaktivinoda was at the time a magistrate, a government servant. By Lord Chaitanya's desire, we have come in the same line of the cyclic succession. What was taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1896, that these teachings of Lord Chaitanya should be spread in the Western countries, by chance or coincidence, it is now happening. We should take it for granted that whatever is happening at the present moment by my humble endeavor, it is all the grace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Therefore, on this auspicious ceremony of Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, it will be greatly beneficial for us to hear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur what he wrote 72 years before, and after 72 years being a humble servant in that line, I am trying to distribute his teachings. There is a spiritual coincidence, and we should take advantage of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. Practically, this Chaitanya movement was, of course, Lord Chaitanya inaugurated this movement 500 years ago, and after that, so many pseudo-Chaitanyites depreciated the whole thing. But the Chaitanya movement, in its pure form, as it is, was restarted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We should take it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the origin of the Krishna consciousness movement in its pure form. So, after Lord Chaitanya left, we learned from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there were so many what's known as Upasampradayas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur listed 13 of them and he actively campaigned against them. Owls, Bowls, Sakibeki, Jati Gosanis, so many. 13 of them are listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this was his mission, to stamp out these pseudo-Chaitanyites, these pseudo-Bhakti-Yoga practitioners, who in the name of Bhakti-Yoga were doing all kinds of weird things and giving Bhakti-Yoga a bad name. So that's one of the things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is greatly credited for. He was the first one to be very strong against all these Upasampradayas, these pseudo-Chaitanyas, as Prabhupada says. So, where were we? Bhaktivinoda wrote almost 100 books. Just imagine. He was a very responsible officer, a magistrate, and he was grihastha. He also had many children. Altogether, he had 10 children. He had to take care of children, the office of magistrate, and extra religious work. He was made superintendent of the temple of Jagannath because the government knew that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very highly advanced religious person. And this is the British. They were in charge at that time. So even they recognized that this is not an ordinary person. Whenever there was some religious question, he was consulted. In spite of all his responsibilities as officer or as a family man with so many children, he executed his family life very nicely, or else he could not have produced a child such as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty. He has written so many books, and in spite of cumbersome duties, that is the beauty of his life. He would come from the office in the evening and take his meals and go to bed. That was his program. And he'd sleep from 8 to 12 at night, 4 hours, and then get up and write books until morning. That was his program. So we can't imitate this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was specially empowered to do this. But as we see, our own Srila Prabhupada did more or less the same thing. He had a very rigid schedule, and he would go to bed and get up midnight or shortly thereafter and translate while all the devotees were resting. In this way, he wrote hundreds of books, some published, some in the course of being published. And all this became possible because he was a sincere, faithful servant. To write so many books with so many responsibilities for an ordinary magistrate is not possible. But because he was sincere, he got the strength from the Supreme Lord. And again, it's worth noting that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had quite a few physical ailments throughout his life. Even from birth, he had some physical problems. And he was so humble, he stated once that amongst my brothers, I was considered a little ugly. So he was very humble. He wasn't at all, you know, concerned about the material side of things. He just had a spiritual mission to accomplish. One does not need to seek strength separate from the Supreme Lord. But if you are sincere, the Supreme will give you sufficient strength. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought my Guru Maharaj to this world to be his son. He prayed to Lord Chaitanya that, quote, "Your preaching and teachings have been so much appreciated. It is not in my power to correct them." He prayed to Lord Chaitanya, and after his prayer, Lord Chaitanya sent my Guru Maharaj as his son, and he took up the matter very seriously. Truly, the Thakur's great stanza, composed in glorification of Srila Haridas Thakur, applies to him. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and in living try to spread a holy life around. Now, we've seen this translated differently. Sometimes it's translated, and living try to spread the holy name around. But this is coming directly from Prabhupada in his lecture. He said the holy life around. So, take it as it is. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, in addition to almost 100 books, hundreds and hundreds of poetic songs. A few weeks ago, I was invited to give a talk to the devotees on Sunday by Zoom in Potomac. And they're studying Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Kalyana Kalpa Taru, which is a collection of songs that he wrote, which translates as a desire tree of auspiciousness. And so they asked me to take the first part of that Kalyana Kalpa Taru and compare it to the Nectar of Devotion, because it's very similar in what he presents there. And it's interesting that almost in all of his songs you have Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And so that's there also in the Nectar instruction. So I did that, and it's, again, it's very, very deep. It's not in our songbook, that particular collection, Kalyana Kalpa Taru, but you can find it on the internet, translated by Dasar Sutta Prabhu, our god brother. So it's, I would say you can take it as being pretty accurate. He's very, very dedicated to translating Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs and other songs very accurately. But I selected this particular song, which is in our songbook, just for as a meditation for today. And also you can go home and take out the songbook and chant any one of his songs. Hari Bol, bring it back on the screen. Now, I'm not a chanter. Maybe Sura would be, you know, better choice for this. So I'm just going to try to chant the first verse. The rest of them, I'll just speak it. But the first verse I've heard this whole song chanted by Prabhupada's godbrother. So, the way he chants it is like this. Kabhi habi bolo se dinai amar. Amar aparada guchi chodena me ruchi kripa bale habe hriday sachar. Kabhi habi bolo se dinai amar. So that's how he chants it. That's Krishnadas Babaji, Prabhupada's godbrother. There's a recording of him chanting this song, and that's the way he chants it. I can't really do it justice, so I'm just going to read after this. So the first text, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, "Please tell me, when will that day be mine, when my offenses will end and the power of divine grace will infuse my heart with a taste for the pure holy name?" So Prabhupada always noted that Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts himself in the position of the conditioned souls. He is not a conditioned soul. He came straight from the spiritual world to preach Krishna consciousness. But just as an expert psychologist can describe the mind of a criminal person, somebody who's criminally psychotic, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the other pure devotees, they know what the conditioned souls are like, how we think, what we do. So he can put himself in that position to give us guidance. So, text number 2. Chinadi kahina kabe nije mani sahishnuta guna hridayate ani sakale manada apani amani hoye aswadi bo mama rasasar. And then they repeat, kabi abhi bala shadi nayamar. thinking myself lower than a blade of grass, bringing forbearance into my heart, respecting all, and freed of false pride, when will I taste the essence of the liquid nectar of the Holy Name? So he's strongly pushing the Holy Name that we should really dive into it deeply. Text 3. Dana jana ar kobita sundari polibona chai deho sokah kari janme janme dao ohe gorahari aituki bhakti charena tumar kabhi habi bolo sheri na amar. Neither wealth, nor followers, nor beautiful women described in worldly poetry, none of these bodily pleasures do I covet. Covet means to desire, want. O Lord Gaurahari, please give me causeless devotion to your lotus feet, birth after birth. So he's not even seeking liberation. Text number 4. Kabe korite shri krishna nama uccharan, pulakite deva gadgada bachan. Vaibhanya bebatu haibe sangatan. Nirantara netre bhabe ashudhar. Kabe yabhi vala shadi namar. When, as I chant the divine name of Sri Krishna, will my body thrill with ecstasy and my words choke up? When will pallor, which means becoming pale, and trembling occur? And when will my eyes pour forth endless streams of tears? Text 5. Kabe nabadvipe suradhuni tate gora nityanana boli nishkapate nachya ghaya viraibo chutte Batulera praya chariya bichar kabhi abhi bala shedi namar. When will I run about on the Ganges bank in Navadvip, guilelessly calling out Gora Nityanandan, dancing and singing like a madman, giving up all mundane considerations? Text number 6. Kabhi Nityananda mori kori dhaya charebe mora vishaya maya dhya mori nija charanar chaya Namira hateta diba adhikar. Kobi abhi bolo shadi namar. When will Lord Nityananda show me mercy and release me from the illusion of materialism? When will he give me the shade of his lotus feet and let me enter the marketplace of the holy name? Text 7. Kinubo lutibo hori namaras. Namarase mati hoi babibas. Rasira rasika charana parash. Korea mojibo rase anibar. Kobi abhi bolo shadi namar. I shall buy or steal the mellows of the holy name of Hari. And after becoming intoxicated with those mellows, I shall become stunned. By touching the lotus feet of the great soul to relish those mellows, I shall constantly drown in the sweet nectar of the name. So again, pushing us to take a deep dive into this chanting, not just float on the surface. Text number 8. Kabe jibe dhaya haibe udhoy. Nijas Vika Bhuli Sudina Hridoy Bhakati Vinoda Koriya Binoy Shri Ajcha Tahala Koriva Prachar Kabi Abhi Bolo Shedi Namar. When will compassion for all fallen souls awaken within this Bhakti Vinod? And when will he thus forget his own happiness and with a meek heart set out to propagate by humble entreaty, means begging, the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just a glimpse into his mood. Again, being Nitya Siddha, he came into this world to preach, but he puts himself always in this humble position, just so he can get us to wake up. One of the other songs we all should know, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago Gorsha. He's telling us always, wake up, wake up. We're sleeping in the lap of the witch Maya, always trying to find happiness through material arrangement. More money, more sense gratification, more prestige, more on the material side, and having little or no time for the spiritual side. But he's saying no, just the opposite. His situation, he didn't try, even though he was educated, he didn't try to use his education to make money. He made some money as a magistrate to take care of his large family, but his main business, as Prabhupada said, was preaching Krishna consciousness, writing books, writing songs, producing and maintaining a newspaper. And in this way, and begging for money to revive the Yogpeeth, the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, very, very humble, even though the most capable. Once one of Prabhupada's disciples said to him, Prabhupada, I read, I think it was Bishwajan, he said, Prabhupada, I read that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I am leaving with my work unfinished. It's just a fact. And Prabhupada said, He's Vaishnava. He's all powerful. He could have done it all himself, but he's leaving something for us to do. So we should think like that, that through Srila Prabhupada, we're all servants of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Today is his disappearance day. And he saw it coming. He disappeared on June 23rd, 1914, exactly at noon. And this was at his Bhajan Kutir in Calcutta. After he departed, then they took the body to Mayapur. But he knew it was coming, so he shut himself up from the world and just pretended to be, you know, ill. But he was just focusing on the internal side of things. And we know from his book that he wrote, Namadip Dhammahatmya, he reveals in that book his original spiritual position as a Manjari. So he was completely conscious of himself as not being a product of this world. And his son, as Prabhupada said, Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur, took up that work and pushed it very strongly. Just see the difference between the father and the son. The father had 10 children and worked, you could say, outside. Many so-called sadhus deprecate that, oh, you can't be a sadhu if you work, if you have a regular job. But in our line, we see that this is not the case. Many of the devotees in our line, acharyas, they had responsible positions in society. And they had children. And they, you know, so they're showing the example that you don't have to renounce the society at large. You don't have to stay home or, you know, pretend that you can't touch money. Like Prabhupada made fun of some of those Babaji's in Vrindavan. When you try to give them money, no, I don't touch money. Prabhupada said, don't worry. Give me. I know what to do with money. And he showed. He knew what to do. Built Krishna Balaram Mandir and so many temples and print so many books and travel around the world and preach. This is the proper use of money. Not that you pretend that, you know, money's contaminated, I can't touch it. No. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also showed. He went on personally from door to door begging money so he could build that Yogpith temple where Lord Chaitanya appeared. So we should follow these examples. So the difference again between the son and the father. The father had 10 children, worked outside. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, no children. Naishika Brahmachari. But still, both of them are pure devotees of the Lord. So you cannot tell a pure devotee necessarily from the externals. This is the point. Sometimes, even with the prophet himself, some of his god brothers intimated behind closed doors that, oh, the reason why he's so successful because, you know, he was a businessman and he knew how to deal with the world. But we grew up in a temple atmosphere. We never left. So, don't be distracted by these kinds of incorrect conclusions. Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee, spiritual master, pure devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they all had different manifestations of how they interacted with the world. So you can't tell a pure devotee just by the externals. You have to see from their work, from their teachings, from where they put their energy. And so with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he was a magistrate and worked very hard under the British rule, still his energy went into this Krishna conscious side of life, producing books, opening temples, convincing people to take up the path of Lord Chaitanya. And so that's why he's so highly revered. And today we should meditate on him. Like I said, in our song book alone, there are so many songs. You can just take another song and meditate on it for the day. Or try to read them all if you can. But that's about all I'm going to say. If anybody else wants to add anything before we end, you can bring the microphone. Can you bring the microphone? Yes, Rudra Dev Prabhu.
Just a quick comment. I found it interesting that Bhaktivinoda referred in one of the early verses of the Kapihabi that the liquid nectar of the holy names. Why did he refer to a liquid nectar of the holy?
Yeah, it seems like redundant because nectar is usually liquid. But I can't add anything else beyond that. That's how it was translated. Mars, can you take the mic to Mars?
Thank you for a wonderful class. Very inspiring. Regarding the liquid nectar of the holy name, I always interpreted that to mean that as you chant the holy name with deep feeling, with deep love, with deep surrender, what happens is tears come to the eyes, and that is really a liquid that flows as a result of the love or the overwhelming love that a devotee has. So I don't know if that's a correct interpretation, but it's certainly liquid. There's no question about that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj.
There was just one other point I was regarding Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if I may. He was very strong in one particular area, and that is he was very much opposed to those persons who were cheaters and called themselves Vishnu and called themselves the Lord. In fact, he had a really big to-do with one of them, Vishakishen, I believe his name was. And he went and he had some mystic powers, and he actually used them to misused them, I should say, to take control or take over some of the young ladies in that particular area. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard about this, he was fearless in that he would arrest this Vishakishen. He went to arrest him, even though he stood to be cursed and to get certain disorders or diseases. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he did get something, but he didn't care. His most important thing was to get rid of these cheaters who were misguiding the different people as to who Lord Vishnu is, and he was claiming to be Lord Vishnu. And so he as we can see, Srila Prabhupada had that same kind of tenacity and that same kind of eagerness to get rid of such people because they misled the people and brought them misery and difficulty and problems out of a false concept and a false realization.
Nakat Mahaprabhu has something to say.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. It's always nice to hear the transcendental activities and character of our spiritual masters and great, great spiritual masters. It's also, I think, significant to note that when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in Surup Ganj, his mandir, which is right along the Jalangi, that he would look out over the Jalangi toward the yoga peak, which happens to be where Mayapur Chandradwaya Mandir is also right square in the middle. Mm-hmm. And he predicted that in the future, so many persons would come from different countries, the Russians, the Americans, and others, that they would come and they would celebrate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the holy name. And we're seeing that today.
Yeah.
Because of his vision and his blessing, that's happening today. That we're seeing Mayapur rising, the yoga peet is there, discovered by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, expanded upon by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's work. But we're seeing that now today, that because of his mercy, people from all over the world are gathering and they're chanting Gauranga.
Yeah. Yes, he was definitely a visionary. Yeah, he predicted this. And Prabhupada continued that. He said that what the UN was not able to do, ISKCON will do, which is bring people from all over the world together despite race, creed, color, class. And we see that now. Even right now, India and China are fighting, killing each other over some border dispute. And everybody's afraid it may turn into a very huge war because now the Russians are backing India. And you know, it just could be a huge mess. But at the same time, there are many devotees from China who are stuck in Mayapur because they came for the festival and they can't go home. And they're standing happily with their Indian brothers and their American brothers and their Russian brothers. They don't care about this border or that border. It's all artificial. So all efficiency. People are literally mad. And without the shining light of the knowledge coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur through Bhaktisiddhanta to Srila Prabhupada, without that light, this world would be completely, they would have no hope. But if we continue to spread this message of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there's hope that people can see beyond all these bodily situations and actually come together and be happy. We see when the devotees get together. So what can I tell you? You've watched it grow over the last 40 years. You know, it used to be a few hundred, then it got to be 500, 600, 1,000. Now you can't even come close to the main temple when there's a festival. Because there's so many devotees, thousands from all over the world, that come to Mayapur to chant together. So Prabhupada's making Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction come true.
It's just astounding that that little piece of land between China and Pakistan and India, there's nothing there. It's so cold. It's below zero during the summer. People die during the summer, and the elevations are 14,000 plus. There's nothing there, and yet they're fighting like crazy for what?
The problem is there is something there. All over this earth, there are minerals, there's oil, and that's what people are fighting for. Because they're trying to live this artificial lifestyle fueled by fossil fuels and rare elements. The thing they're looking for is this. Every smartphone uses some rare elements, one of which is lithium. You have all these lithium-ion batteries that everybody... And there's only a limited amount of that all over the world. So the Chinese in particular, because that's where a lot of the manufacturing happens, they want to capture lithium by any means possible. They've depleted their own, and they're going all over the world looking for it. Africa, and now they're figuring that up in these high reaches of the Himalayas, there are all kinds of minerals on the ground. That's what they're fighting for. It's not, nobody wants to live there. They want the minerals. They want the rights. They want to go there and dig up the place. Destroy the place. It's amazing how, you know, greedy people can become, that they will destroy nature just so they can live on a high platform for a few decades. Literally. Let's say you're 35 and you go work somewhere and you work hard or steal bank water. For 20, 30 years you live like a rich man and then you're gone. Is it really worth it? Because they don't understand what comes afterwards. They're thinking, yeah, it's one life, live, be happy, eat, drink, and be merry. No, you're going to pay a heavy price for destroying the environment and killing so many people just for your own self-aggrandizement.
Yeah, it's total madness.
Any of the ladies, maybe? Anything else to us?
Well, I have to say, thank you for a very nice presentation. I think a principle that's amazing at that particular time is that, you know, if you're a householder in those particular time period, you are not considered to be in any position or elevated position to speak or try to enunciate about Lord Chaitanya or spiritual life, because the sannyasis, you know, they were very powerful. Mm-hmm. And most of them were Mayavadi. So I think that a great example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was that a person with 10 children, you know, working as a magistrate, a grihastha, and he was actually challenging the position of these amazingly powerful individuals for centuries. And he actually was able to, you know, defeat them, literally, with the help of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. But I thought that was really something that's incredible to realize. And that's how the Krishna Conscious Movement actually opened up to the world. Otherwise, it would have been just stifled in some particular village. And and even in these villages, these sannyasis, for lack of a better understanding, I'm just saying sannyasi, they actually called themselves Jagat Guru. Mm-hmm. And really, they never left the boundaries of the village.
Yeah.
But that was the whole culture, the cult that they developed. Mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was powerful enough to break that up. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty amazing feat.
Yeah, amazing. Jai, nice point. Thank you, Prabhu. All right, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai.
general people and those who are advanced. So in general, householders are only into money, sex, prestige. But there are exceptions, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just like Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself married twice. So should we